This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 4/14/21. This is show number 245. Well, we're getting a Wednesday rally here, Nick. What does that mean?
Yeah, right now we have a rally today. The Russell 2000 actually is leading the charge. So it's a decent move. But I will say this, we're seeing a little bit of weakness in technology today. Now, technology has been very strong, maybe just due for a pullback anyway. But the NASDAQ composite is negative just by 9 points. It's not a big decline, but more backing and filling going on here. We don't really see all these indexes always go up together. One time, you'll see the Dow starting to lead, then the Russell will lead, then the NASDAQ will lead. So, markets have been chopping around, but overall we're positive today. You got a good rally today in the Russell. Outside of that, there's nothing really special out here. But the one thing I will say is that we keep an eye on technology now because that is caught a little bit of a bid recently, today a little bit weaker. So we'll see how it plays out. The one thing I always want to point out is volume trends remain very, very light. And we'll give the market a slight upside bias as long as the volume trends are light. If volume kicks in, that's a warning sign. And that tells us that things could be changing. So be aware of that. Plus, Friday is options expiration, as you know. So, just don't expect things to go straight up. We'll probably get some choppiness in here. Today is what we call Whipsaw Wednesday. So even if we're up early in the morning, we could be down later in the afternoon.
All right. Whipsaw Wednesday. It's got a nice ring to it. And so the vaccine, J&J, they gave out 17 million doses. Six women out of 17 million experienced blood clotting. So, of course, take it off the market.
Yeah, I don't really get into the vaccine thing myself. It's all experimental anyway. It's only has emergency use. Even the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines and AstraZeneca, they're all, emergency use only. These things haven't really, we don't know really what these things do yet. They weren't even tested on animals. So I don't really have that strong of an opinion one way or the other. I don't think the J&J did anything that the others haven't done either. So, we'll see what comes out of it. I really try to stay away from the whole vaccine news.
All right, just stay away. When in doubt, stay away. And there was an article in Zero Hedge. I don't know if you caught it. Not trying to get political, but it said that the people who are most frightened of COVID-19 are the people least likely to get it. That's the 18-34 group, which I guess is technically millennials and some Zers, Generation Zs in there. But at that age, unless they have comorbidities, they have virtually no chance of dying from it. And yet they are the generation most frightened of COVID. Go figure. Whereas like my generation, we all know we're going to die anyway. We go for it. And if we get it, we get it. But in yours, you're in the middle. You don't have anything to worry about, really.
Well, you never know. I had a friend of mine that had a kidney ailment. And like you said, if you have a comorbidity, you have to be really, really careful. She passed away and at the age of 50, and, but she was battling a kidney ailment for 25 years. So if you have a comorbidity, you have to be really cautious. But if you don't, I think you go out there and you live your life. I mean, I've never seen anything like we've seen. And we talked about this last year, Kerry, at length all the time. We were saying how you have to open up the economy. You have to let, business flow again. And here we are. We're starting to see, places like Michigan closing down again. It's just rather remarkable. It just doesn't seem like this is going to end anytime soon when it comes to this virus.
Yeah. And, we got governor recalls going on. We got threatened impeachments, all these things. And the fact is, all of our efforts have done absolutely nothing to stop the spread. So maybe it's time to follow Texas's lead and just dump it all. Get the vaccine, do whatever, but just don't spend your life living under your bed in fear. Hey, speaking of fear, gold and silver down a little bit today, I guess consolidating yesterday's gains.
Yeah, you have gold futures as we speak right now, just down 8 points. It's not that big a deal. It was down a little bit more earlier. The GLD today down 51 cents. Gold miners are actually positive today. GDX is actually up 12 cents. It's not a big move by any stretch, but I love the consolidation. If we could do this throughout the rest of the week into next week, week, that's setting the stage for higher prices in the precious metal. So right now, so far, so good as far as gold goes. I don't really see any problem there with the precious metals. And even silver today, not acting bad. Silver's in the positive, you know, in positive territory. It's not up big today. Silver futures just up about 4 cents, but still green on the day. That's good consolidation. That's what you want to see if you're bullish the precious metals at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really an amazing thing to watch. I've heard predictions, forecasts from a number of people who I follow saying that May is probably when you're going to see this thing take off. I don't know if it's true or not, but it seems like, you know, an almost 1 year consolidation in the metals, probably ready. We got war drums beating in the Ukraine. We got incursions, regular incursions by the Chinese in Taiwan. And who knows what's going to happen, but it could, like you said, become the fear trade again.
Yeah. And the irony of it is today is the day where we're going to get Coinbase, which is where you go and you buy your Bitcoin and your cryptocurrency. Coinbase is the broker there, and they're going to go public today via direct listing. So I find that kind of ironic. Today, we're going to get Coinbase going public. And, you know, the funny thing is everybody looks at Bitcoin as the alternative to the dollar, yet Coinbase is going public. It's going to be traded in dollars. So I just find it to be a little bit, you know, ironic that that's how things work out. The so-called anti-dollar solution of fiat currency is going to be priced in dollars after going public today. Is it me, or does something seem a little off here?
Yeah, something is amiss for sure. And I'm not sure what it is, but hey, you know, I got we actually got an email from one of our listeners here asking desperately for my help. And I feel really bad for him, but somehow he got hacked and he lost $50,000 worth of cryptocurrencies. And he thought he was sending it to an exchange in Australia. And then when he pulled up the number, it was a tote that, you know, you use these keys. Everybody has a unique key, a public key and a private key. And he saw that the numbers had no relation to what he actually typed in. And as a result, man, he's out 50K. Now, I'm not saying that happens to everybody. I'm not saying it's an epidemic. But point is, if he had had his money in Coinbase, that fiat dollar-based machine there, this wouldn't have happened. So, you know, unregulated, no insurance, nothing. Coinbase, you're insured.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess that's the allure. But, you know, the whole crypto world is basically about cutting out the middleman, right? Isn't it all about that you could just send money to somebody else and they get it directly without going through the middleman? So in other words, if I'm going to, say, Holland and I land in Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, I want to change my dollars into euro, somebody's got to do that exchange for me. They make a little piece of it in the middle. And here, Coinbase obviously does that as well. They're just a middleman in the bigger scheme of things. Obviously, they're going to have bigger plans with blockchain and getting into other operations and businesses. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, here we are, the anti-dollar solution, and it doesn't seem to be working all that great when you hear stories like that, that you could just be hacked and you could lose your entire, you know, amount of money that you have in that cryptocurrency. And the other thing is, too, is the grid. What happens if the grid goes down? If there's a war, God forbid, there's a war, what do you do then? How do you get your money? How is it that you can use these cryptos? And, you know, is there, you know, something else? Is there another means where you can, you know, access your capital?
Well, if the internet's down, if the grid is down, you're screwed. And that's what happened in Texas. The grid basically went down in numerous places. They didn't have cell phone service. They didn't have water. And the crypto was kind of useless. But those things are fortunately rare, but you never know what's going to happen. And yeah, you can make a lot of money in it, but we've had parabolic moves. And after parabolic moves, the cryptos tend to correct and they'll retrace. Last time it was 85% they retraced. Probably this time it'll be less, but they're going to retrace. And whatever the reason, I don't care if Elon Musk cornered the market on Bitcoin, it has to retrace just like the stock market will. If you believe the stock market's going to go down, then you got to believe that cryptocurrencies at some point will also follow suit, maybe to return ever higher. Very possible, but you never know. And hey, I believe in cryptos, but I don't believe that they're the be-all and the end-all. There's other alternatives that you have to consider. But portability-wise, it's a lot easier to move $1 million worth of Bitcoin over the border than it is to move $1 million worth of gold or silver. That's for sure. So in any event, that's it for today. Make sure you go to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com. A couple of great trades there that you really need to know about. Could be the trade trade of the decade. Gold is still in that position, poised for a great leap forward, and perhaps silver too. Hey, don't forget the Twitter feeds are at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Carrie Lutz, and your emails are gladly welcomed at kl@carrielutz.com. Nick, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Carrie.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.